This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome and blessings from Grace Emmanuel Church, located at 707 Kitterman Road in Port St. Lucie, Florida. This is the Grace Alive radio broadcast. We rejoice that God has led you to join us as we listen to a message recorded live during our Sunday worship service. We offer these broadcasts with the hope that they will help you better understand the Scriptures and more passionately follow the Savior. We're praying that for you as you listen today. If you have specific prayer needs, we would like to know about them. Please text us at 772-205-6552. Today's message is the 12th in a series titled, How Big is Your God? The Bible is clear about what a Christian is. The Christian has turned to Jesus and away from sin, surrendering to Him for forgiveness. That person is given life eternal, but they are also given a new life of power and victory because God's Spirit comes to live in them. The Holy Spirit's not just meant to give us a sense of peace, although that's what He does. He is there to change us and give us a life of victory, showing God's great life and grace to others. Ask God to speak to your heart and mind as we listen to this message from our pastor, Sam Chess.
Here's How Big is Your God, number 12. And I want to start with John 7, 37 through 39. Here is the goal for each of us. And it's clearly stated in Scripture. These are not verses that you can simply read and say, those are nice verses. It doesn't give you that option. These are explosive, potent verses. And they are meant to be faced head on. Jesus said them right out of His mouth, standing on the steps of the temple. And He said them to us. Here we go with verse 37. Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. I have preached on that sentence many times. I preached a whole series of sermons, in fact, on that one sentence. But what we tend to do sometimes is we miss the next part. We get kind of locked in there and we don't go on. What is on is actually as important, perhaps even more important than what we just read. Here's what it says, for the Scripture declares, rivers of living water will flow from the heart of anyone who believes in me. And I put up here again a picture of Niagara Falls. Sue and I stood right there, summer before last, on our way to visit some of you in Canada. The water going over the falls doesn't die when it hits the rocks below. Why it makes this such a great illustration. Water never goes away. There's never more of it. None leaves our atmosphere. Gravity makes sure of that. We always have the same water here. But it races its way down or up because it's going downhill up the Niagara River, and it's causing power to be generated all over New England and all over Canada. And we applied that to our Spirit-filled, power-generating lives a couple of weeks ago. My grandson and I stood there the winter before when it was 4 degrees outside. And the water was still gushing. Even in the most brutal of times, the water was still generating power. That speaks to me. I don't know if it does to you, but it speaks to me. Because watch this. Watch what the Bible then says about gushing water and you. Here's the rest of it. 38, Scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from the heart of anyone who believes in me. When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be giving to everyone believing in him. Now, I don't want to bury us in Greek words, but this stuff is actually rather important. The word is literally floodwaters, not streams, not creeks, gushing floodwaters, hudor, waters, and then this word literally means to come alive again. It's literally saying a gushing alive stream of water will flow from the heart of anyone who believes in me. Then he tells us what he's talking about. Jesus said this. He was speaking of the pneumata, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the word the Bible uses for the Holy Spirit, who would be given to everyone who believes, everyone who pistuos, everyone who believes. That is supposed to be a snapshot of the life of a sincere believer in 2021. Let me break down the parts. This river of living water, specifically, is the Holy Spirit. Jesus said so. What's that mean? Two, the Holy Spirit is given to all believing Christians. That's in there twice. Nothing spiritual happens inside of you without the work of the Holy Spirit, the drawing of you to God. If you are a believer, somewhere along the line, you had this drawing to God, the work of the Holy Spirit, the convicting of our sin. But then he is the one who regenerates us. He is the one who rebirths us. Through him, we become born again. We talked about this a lot on Wednesday night. By the way, Wednesday night, we take what we're talking about here on Sunday and we kind of dig it deeper. We will do that this Wednesday night about the Holy Spirit. But this regeneration, it's like a pilot light. Do we even understand what a pilot light is even anymore? A gas appliance. Some of you remember that so clearly. A little tiny light that burned all the time. And then when you would pour fuel on, it would explode into flame at just the right time, hopefully, unless it's your gas grill and you just forgot that you had the gas on and all your eyebrows leave. But three, I've done that. Three, these rivers of living water, Christ followers, apparently are serious believers who are spiritually thirsty, and they come and they keep on coming to satisfy their inner thirst for God. Come, Jesus said, come on. And I promise you, out of your soul will flow rivers of living water. For the Holy Spirit in these thirst-satisfied Christians becomes this thing Jesus called a flood of living water. And the flood of living water, Holy Spirit, isn't bottled up inside of these believers. Somehow he flows out of their hearts. That's what Jesus seemed to be saying. And that clearly is meant by Jesus to be an invitation. Yes, to us, to all of us, come. The Spirit of God inside of you will become a river of gushing water flowing out. So let me just ask you, do we have this deep desire on the inside? Did they? Did the early church that he was talking to have this inside desire to become a river of living water? And do we? Is there a river of living water flowing from our heart and soul? Asking you, me, is the Holy Spirit flowing out of you? What does that even mean? And if that is happening, why is it happening? And what's supposed to be accomplished by the Spirit in you flowing out? And what's supposed to be happening to the world around you if, in fact, you are a flood of gushing Spirit? Let me talk about the sequence here. Moving from spiritually dead to overflowing life, we must realize that we're first sinners. We talked about this, but let me just go over it. We're first sinners. We're bound in our sin. We need salvation. Why would one need a Savior unless you need saving? And so many in the world don't imagine now that they do. You come to understand that you needed saving, and Jesus, God come to this earth, came to take my punishment on himself. We just went through that. Came to take my punishment on himself. And I realize that, I repent, I make a U-turn, and I turn back toward the God that I've been running from. I embrace his free gift of salvation as my own. I invite him into my life as my Savior and as my Lord. If that hasn't happened to you, that's number one, before we're ever going to talk about what it means to have a river of living water flowing out of you. You're going nowhere until that's true, until I've come to him and allowed him to cleanse me, to wash me of the sin in my life. When old, sinful, addicted Fred There he is. Comes to Jesus, repents of his sins, and has his sins forgiven. Is he that day now a river of living water? The first day you came to Christ, that next morning, was there a river of living water gushing from your soul? Maybe, yeah, Fred went to work and he talked to Bubba at work and he told him about what happened to him the night before. That's the beginning of the Holy Spirit flowing out through him. But it will probably not be a gushing river of the Holy Spirit's power because old sinful Fred still has a lot of old sinful Fred hanging on in his life. And God has a wonderful solution for that. It's called sanctification. Something has to change inside of Fred. You're redeemed. Listen to these steps. The price is paid for your sins. Your sin is absorbed as the sin punishment of Jesus himself. You never will have to pay it yourself. God completely forgives every one of your sins. He erases them, he says, even from his very memory. He adopts you as his child, as his son or daughter. He regenerates you by implanting his Holy Spirit in you. And he ignites the fire of inner transformation. Let me say it again. He ignites the fire in you of inner transformation. Getting from God implanting his Holy Spirit in you, regenerating you to a river of living water. That's the journey that we're on here this morning. How? What's it even mean? If you're a follower of Christ today, where would you evaluate yourself in this thing called an overflowing life, or this sequence that moves you to where anyone would look at you and say, man, that's one overflowing life right there. That's a river of living water pouring out of that guy. If you were to honestly analyze, I'm not doing this to be mean, I'm doing this to create thirst. If you feel guilty, no, it's not my intention. If you were to honestly analyze your life this last week, to what degree would other people describe their association with you as a river of living water pouring out into their life? That actually is downright startling to think about, isn't it? Almost a little bit scary. Was our life this last week a conduit through which the indwelling Holy Spirit poured his presence out into the lives of the people around us? Pause. If you've been here this last month, you understand that the Bible teaches that the divine work of the indwelling Holy Spirit is not just what he wants to do out through us. It starts with what he wants to do in here, what he wants to do inside of us. In fact, let me put this up there. There should be an obvious sequence. The indwelling Holy Spirit begins first to transform us on the inside. Our thoughts, our attitudes, and our actions, our reactions turn toward righteousness and godliness. It's out of those inner transformations that the Holy Spirit is able to deeply affect and infect others around us. I picture it kind of like this. This may not be a good analogy, but we're going to go with it. Number one, the untransformed life, nothing to flow or trickle, dry creek beds of sin. And if you're living there, you know what I'm talking about. If you've been there, which we all have, we know what that means. Nothing there, no life. Two, the newly regenerated life, you may not like this, the trickling life, creeks of living water, or if you come from certain parts of the country, creeks of living water. I heard you laugh. Three, the Spirit-transformed life, the overflowing life, the life out of which is coming floods of living water. Many years ago, I was preaching on what we were then calling the seven building blocks of sanctification. Pastor Christopher Wise, who was with us for 12 years, was always very good at putting together images, and he put this image, I'm going to put it up here, we haven't seen it in many, many years, the image of a house that would illustrate the point of what we're talking about here, and this one will work. This one actually works well, I think. If you don't think so, don't say anything. I don't want you to hurt my feeling, or Christopher's. The foundation on the bottom has to be regeneration. And regeneration is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Let me show you. It's in the Bible. Titus 3:5, he saved us through the washing of rebirth. There's the word for regeneration. Rebirth, being born again, being saved. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus, our Savior. And this is not part of the verse, but I'm saying it. We're born again. Step one, foundation. Got to have that before you can move on. But then you move on up to what I'm calling the lower walls. Here's the lower walls, 2 Thessalonians 2:13. From the beginning, God chose you to be saved. That's not past tense. That's a participle. That's present tense. It's an ongoing action. He chose you to be being saved through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. He's going to do this in you. He's going to change you. And we described, at least the shorter definition, sanctification is the process of becoming less and less like our old sinful self and more like our Savior Jesus Christ. That's what he's promising to do on that second level there. Sanctify you less like your old sinful self, more and more like your Savior Jesus Christ. Let me show you a new one, not new to the Bible, new to us as far as this study goes. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, may God sanctify you, make you holy, separate you from sin. And again, that's an ongoing action. It doesn't start and then stop. It doesn't start and then never stop and then never start again. It's supposed to continue through. May God sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, may your whole soul, may your whole body be kept blameless. That's the word faultless. Not because you're blameless, because you're submitting to him. May he keep you faultless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a crucial, repeatable point. There's no use talking about being a river of living water with the power and presence of the Holy Spirit flowing out through our lives unless we get those first 2 points, maybe four if you add in the two things that I had above that. Those first 4 points have to happen inside, regeneration, and then the transformation that begins on the inside. An unregenerated person can talk about the Holy Spirit all day long, but you can't pour something out that's not in there, and the Holy Spirit's not there. If a critical part of what the Spirit's present in us is supposed to do is what we call what God calls sanctification, becoming less and less like our old sinful self, more and more like our Savior Jesus Christ, then listen, this isn't on the screen, what flows out through our lives is supposed to be an overflow of what God is doing on the inside. Overflow comes from inner fullness. Something's happening here, and it washes out onto you. It begins to change your life. I related to some of you the story of a call I got several years ago from a young Christian woman. And she'd gone to her church, not this one, she'd gone to her church on Saturday evening. And after the service, a number of them went to a restaurant slash bar. And at 11 o'clock, several members of the church were quite drunk, including, in this case, some of the church leadership. And two of the leaders were up on the bar dancing. And she said what was coming out of their mouth was just pure filth. And she literally screamed into the phone to me, "Is this what Christianity has become? Is it? Only if you're willing to dump the whole sanctification building block out of the sequence." And that word is used in the Bible more than 1,000 times. Becoming holy, becoming different, becoming new, becoming set apart. Michael Burkle, who designed and built all that crown molding that's out there in our foyer, was doing a similar job for actual money rather than the closer to the throne room in heaven that we offered him here. And when he finished, a fellow contractor said to him he was amazed that Michael had done the whole job without cursing one time. Imagine if Michael, right there, angel boy, I call him, Burkle, had been cursing every fifth word, and then he paused to tell his co-workers about the salvation Jesus had brought into his life. I'm just saying. What if he got them aside to share a little bit of the porn that he had stored on his phone? Or what if he was just a demanding, hard-to-please, self-centered, self-focused, pig-headed, wretched man? Hear me when I say, he's not, by the way, one of the kindest people I've ever met. Listen to me. Overflow comes out of inner fullness. What's inside tends to bubble out. And this river of living water thing that's supposed to affect and infect the world around us has to bubble from somewhere. And it has to bubble from the indwelling Holy Spirit and the transformation that he's making on the inside. So let me take you back to the drawing up here. We'll call this the upper walls right here, filled with the Spirit, taught by the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, the familiar verse, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. I didn't actually put that in there because of the illustration I just did. It just happened to fall that way. So deal with it. Instead, watch. Instead, be filled. And it's a present tense verb. It's an ongoing action. Be being filled. Don't stop. Continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm asking you a question, and this is where we'll hone in for a little while here. To be more full of the Holy Spirit doesn't so much require adding more. The Holy Spirit's God. He's infinite. He's omnipresent, all present. He's everywhere all the time. All of him is everywhere all of the time. So how can we have more of him when he's everywhere all the time? How? Let me just say, we become more filled, more saturated, more controlled by the Holy Spirit as we are willing to submit every sinful corner of our life to God's transforming power. Something begins to change on the inside. And I gave you this quote a couple weeks ago. It's attributed to Billy Graham or a whole bunch of other people. I don't know who first said it, but I've changed it a bit. It's not so much about how much of the Holy Spirit you have. It's not a quantity thing. Not so much. It's far more about how much of you the Holy Spirit has. How much of your soul can he fill? And I want to say this for emphasis. It may shock some of us out of the that's the way it's always been mode. Many people here in this room, in this church, on the stream, watching today, have spent years of your life in religious systems that emphasize the death of Jesus. You took communion, that emphasize the accepting his death for our sins. But maybe nobody ever mentioned to you that what the Bible teaches about salvation and what the Bible teaches about sanctification is way more than just sinning and confessing, sinning and confessing, sinning and confessing. Thank God, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. Emphasis on the last six words, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we're not supposed to be going to God confessing the same sins that we were 20 years ago. Now, thank God, if we need to, we can. But God has a wonderful biblical plan for our sinful actions. He wants to sanctify them out of our life until they're not controlling us anymore.
We take a brief pause from today's broadcast to welcome those just joining us. This is the Grace Alive radio broadcast, a ministry of Grace Emmanuel Church in Port St. Lucie, Florida. You're listening to the 12th message in a series titled, How Big is Your God? Jesus said that all authority is his. He said that he would send the Holy Spirit to live in our lives. Then he sent us out. Then he left. The Holy Spirit is in us to transform us. His power and fullness are to overflow out of us so that others can see what God offers them. Does the Holy Spirit's fullness and control flow out of your life? It can. If you would like to reach out to us during this broadcast or would like us to pray with you, text us at 772-205-6552. You can also send us a message through our website at graceemmanuel.com. Use the Contact Us tab at the top of the page to send your comments, your questions, or your prayer requests. Now, let's return and listen to the rest of this message from Pastor Sam Chess.
Again, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, may God sanctify you. May He make you holy. May He separate you from sin, ongoing action throughout your entire life, through and through. May your whole spirit, may your whole soul, may your whole body be faultless before God, because we've allowed Him to do everything that He so much wants to do. Remember, this is such a big deal to God that this single word is used more than 1,000 times throughout the entire Bible. The Old Testament, God was continually separating His followers from the practice of sinful, idol-worshipping paganism. In the New Testament, the word constantly means to separate from one's sin, to separate to God, to separate to righteous living. That's what He's calling us to. Remember, we're moving from the direction of sinfulness to what I'm calling an overflowing life, or what Jesus called rivers of living water flowing out from within us. But every time we talk about a flow of water, a flow of the Spirit, we have to contend with this. And I'm going to put an image up here that you've seen before, and you're going to say, oh man, Chess just brought back the image that every 4 years or so shows up there. And there's a problem right there. Our sinful natures, our sinful habits are the flow stoppers of New Testament theology. The Spirit-saturated river of life doesn't flow well through that. Just doesn't. And we're all there. Don't anybody try to look holier than anybody else in the room. It's kind of this sinful condition that we find ourselves in. And remember, the upper wall illustration, Ephesians 5:18, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled, be being filled with the Spirit that then flows through you. And being filled with the Holy Spirit isn't so much about adding more of the Holy Spirit as it is making uncluttered room for the Spirit to saturate your life and flow on out through your life. Let me give you a quote here. The Holy Spirit flowing through our lives as a river of living water isn't so much about pressurizing the flow. Maybe if I get enough of the Holy Spirit, I can just pressurize it and get Him to funnel right through all the crud in my life. It's not so much about pressurizing the flow. It's about cleansing out all the obstacles that prevent the flow, stopping Him from doing what He so much wants to do on the inside of us. And some people's theology really centers around adding the Holy Spirit on top of all the sin in our lives. That's not God's plan. I told you several times in the past, because it so impacted my young pastor's life, about a lady that I taught in a Bible study in Stuart, who constantly preached to everybody else in the Bible study about the need for the Holy Spirit's giftings. And that's important. That's a part of all this. But she was right after that arrested for her part in a child pornography ring in Jensen Beach. I remember how vivid this was to one of my Bible study students. And she was literally part of the picture taking and distribution. And when I questioned her in the Martin County Jail about her relationship with God, she assured me that God's Spirit had been close to her throughout her whole ordeal. There is a huge disconnect between her life choices and what the Bible actually offers to every believer. And I've talked to people, many people, especially when I was back in construction, who made bold claims about the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives, but whose lifestyle actually didn't look act or sound any different than the non-Christian pagans around them. There was no difference. Nothing was different, ever. So if I'm there, and if you're there, I'm not preaching at you. I'm not even trying to make you feel guilty. I'm not trying to make me feel guilty. I'm trying to create a thirst in us that says there's more. If I don't understand what all God's promising me, there's more. There's like this whole banquet waiting for me just to pull up a chair. And some of us are sitting out in the other room. Cognizing the Holy Spirit's first function inside of us, according to the Bible, is to regenerate us. Begins the transformation process. In every one of us, it's always the same. It regenerates. It starts the fire burning that transforms us on the inside. The second thing is always to sanctify us. And that's the right order. Regenerate, sanctify, become more and more filled, become more and more taught. And we haven't even talked about that. Tons of scriptures about all of these in the Bible. By the way, I offered you 27 pages of every scripture I pulled out of the Bible on the Holy Spirit. A bunch of you have responded. I've sent them to you. If you want that, send me a short email. I was going to say something smart, Alec, but I'm trying to grow up. SamuelEchess@AOL.com. SamuelEchess@AOL.com. And I'll send all 27 pages, everything the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. You read them. And I've broken them out. I've categorized them. I've put Greek words in there. So you can really study. If you really want to study about the Holy Spirit. But this is what it says unconditionally from one end of the Bible to the other. Not only does he regenerate us, not only does he, number two, sanctify us, but out of us then overflows the Spirit of God. And in fact, we are to become rivers of living water. Jesus said that, not me. And Christopher Wise put a line right here between the bottom part, the foundation of the walls, and what would come in the roof, the rivers of living water and the power that then comes through the Holy Spirit. And there's a good reason for that. There's a good reason. It's not improper to say that everything below the line, there's different colors, everything from this point down is what the Holy Spirit does in us, and then everything from this point up is what the Holy Spirit wants to do through us out to the world around it. In fact, it's a direct fulfillment of Galatians 5, 25 and 26. Here it is on the back wall. Since we're living by the Spirit, walk in him. Walk it out. And since we're living by the Spirit, we begin to follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Now, I don't mean to draw that line too starkly right up at the tie beam level, because as soon as you begin to be changed on the inside, it begins to show up out to the world around you. But there's some point there. There is some point there where it grows in intensity and it grows in fervor. And we allow the Holy Spirit to clean more and more of the crud out of our lives, the sinful crud that's in our life, and more of the Spirit's power begins to pour out through us because it's just unobstructed now, where before it was obstructed. Let me show you 1 Corinthians 6:19 again. Don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Talking to all Christians. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God. You do not belong to yourself. God bought you with a high price. We talked about it earlier. You must honor, you must glorify, doxa, you must glorify God with your body. And notice, every time it talks about body, it's this word soma that I've been bringing up. There's somati. Every time I bring it, it's not sarx. Sarx is your flesh. I know we use this verse all the time to say you shouldn't drink, smoke, or chew, or go with girls who do. And I get that. I understand the whole, okay, it's talking, that's the flesh. And there's a lot of important things that we can stop and say there. But the word soma is the same word God uses to describe the body of Christ. It's bigger. It's everything about you, your body, your soul, your mind, your flesh, your spirit. All of you is a temple of the Holy Spirit. I didn't say that. Actually, I just did, but God said that. You must become a reflection of God. With your soma, with all that you are, is supposed to become this reflection. People look at you, they begin to see, not you reflected, they begin to see the character of God. And to do that, we're going to need to allow the infilling Spirit, who bought you with a high price, to make you into an ever increasingly clear reflection of himself. Is anybody in for this? Two people are, and I'm very glad for you. But it really is just that clear cut. I'm not making stuff up here. This is just, look at everything the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. It all says the same thing. Romans 8, 9, you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. Verse 11, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your, there it is again, your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. 14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters. So how do I do that, Sam? How do I do that? How do I do that? By allowing God to change that into that. That's how I do it. You that are listening to this eventually on the radio, I'm showing a picture of a conduit that's almost completely occluded with crud, and right beside it a conduit that's wide open, completely free, unobstructed. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. You do not belong to yourself. God bought you with the price of his Son. So we must glorify God, reflect God with our body, reflect God's actions. He is so wanting to be the overflowing river of life that pours out through us to the world around us. And you say, well, Chess, I don't want to be the clogged up conduit. I don't want to be the picture on the left. I want to be a clean conduit. I want the perfectly pouring through presence of God to be coming out of my life and people to be seeing that in me and people to be acting like that because they see it in me. I want my life to be so saturated by the presence of the Holy Spirit that it overflows out through me. And that, one of the reasons I think it's so important, that first prayer, I never thought that prayer was important 2 months ago, but I began to think, you know what? It is. It's important to ask God rather than just assume that God's going to change us. Take the things he said he was going to change. Take the ways he said he was going to change them and ask him, God, here I am. And even that third thing where you literally are writing down your surrender list, God, here's the stuff in me that needs changed. I was going through this yesterday morning. This is the stuff that has to change. And the only pathway to change is through the indwelling and outflowing Holy Spirit. Not like I'm going to grab myself by the nape of the neck. How many, we've tried that. We don't even know what a nape of the neck is. Look it up. So Sam, what do I do? What do I do? How do I chip out all the years of encrusted sinfulness? How do I do that? And here's the answer. You don't. That's the beauty of God's plan. That's also a function of the Holy Spirit within us. He does it. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, from the beginning God chose you to be being saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. He's the heart changer. He's the one who cleans out the crud. Romans 15:16, I bring you the good news so that I might present you as an acceptable offering to God, being made holy, being sanctified. How? By the Holy Spirit. The one on the back wall is good. This is the will of God, your sanctification. So, what you do is to be completely and continually willing to let God do in you what he has planned to do from the beginning. Open your arms, open wide your heart. And I do believe it involves asking. I do. I think we mess it sometimes because we just kind of hope it happens. We hope that those areas in my life that need change, I'm not really going to detail them. I'm not going to think about them, God. I just hope you change them. No, let's stop that. Let's detail them. Here's the stuff I see that's so out of control. Here's the stuff you're showing me that's just not in control, God. And now I'm taking that stuff and I'm presenting it to you. I can't fix it. No year, New Year's resolutions are going to make me better. I've tried. But God, you can. It's what you promise. That's what the indwelling Holy Spirit does. changes the old us into somebody brand spanking new. And the word that we used 2 weeks ago was the word submission. Oh, how we hate that word. Submission, at the very root of the difference between a person who is a river of living water and one who is self-absorbed and self-consumed, is this one little word, submission. Giving up to God. Because his plan for you is nothing but for your good. There's not a drop of anything inside of God that wants anything for you except your absolutely, perfectly eternal good. All he wants for you. Dear brothers and sisters, Romans 12, 1 and 2, I plead with you to give your bodies, there's the word again, to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This truly is the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a whole new person by changing the way you think. The thought of I can't ever change is wrong. He does the work. He's the one who does the changing. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. And then comes the rest of the drawing. And we're not going to get to all of that today, because that means we're almost going to have to talk about this next Sunday too. But look at Acts 1:8. You will receive power. There it is. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, the overflow of your life. And there's supposed to be one. The overflow of your life is designed to transform others around you. Always. Every single time. Your spiritual life and growth was never designed to be just about you. Ever. We must never fall into the trap of thinking or talking about the Holy Spirit like he's our personal genie in a bottle. False. Not true. That he's there somehow to accomplish our own ambitions and lead us into some kind of personal power. False. Not true. The living water was never designed to pool inside of your own soul. When those waiting in the upper room disciples were filled with the power of the infilling Holy Spirit, what did they instantly do? Out into the world. Left the room. There was absolutely no thought of huddling inside with this new power that was on the inside of them. They went straight out to change the world around. And on the day of Pentecost, that day, the cork was popped loose on several dozen rivers of living water. That's what you see in Acts 2 and 3. Well, it turns out, last thing, rivers of living water, people, are supposed to be the most eternally powerful, power, F-U-L-L, powerful people on the planet. That's what the river of living water inside of us does. 1 Peter 1:12, now this good news has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It's all so wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. Angels are watching to see what the transformation in your life does, not just in you, but in the world around you. They're interested in what God's going to do in and through you. 1 Corinthians 4:20, the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It's living by God's power. You. Would you like to know more about that? One more, Ephesians 3:20. Now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. That's his plan for you. His plan for me. If I stop that plan by keeping that clogged up pipe and refusing to change, I lose. I lose. Everything that God offers me, everything he designed for me when he put me on this planet. Father, you know us in the room, and all of us are affected by this truth in one way or another, because we all kind of come the same journey, different places in the journey, but we all are on the same journey. And there has to be something inside of us that becomes willing to change. And some of us maybe have sins in our life that have been there for 20 years and we just say, that's just who I am. No, it's not. I can resist anything but temptation. No, you can't. God gave you so much more. And he's offering it to you right now. Right now. He's asking you to come to him and say, God, that's my truth. Man, I've been waiting on that. The things in me that seem unchangeable, I'm not going to get them changed. I get that. But you're telling me you're willing to change them. You're willing to clean out the old conduit. And what you want from me is my submission. You want me just to open my hands up and say, God, I'm willing. Take it. Take the wheel. I ask you to direct my life until it literally becomes a reflection of you. And I become a river of living water that people around me are changed because I lived. Oh God, may it be so. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the message today. When we choose to surrender, trust, and obey God in our daily lives, the power of His Holy Spirit works in and through us. Then His power pours out of us to others. Please join us for more discussion about this. With us are Sam Chess, Senior Pastor, Kevin Pierce, Pastor of Outreach and Evangelism, Mitchell McGar, Pastor of Student Ministries, and as our special guest today is one of our members, Paula Donnell.
This is one of those subjects that when a pastor's preaching on it, it kind of hurts on the inside, the pastor, because of how much I end up preaching to myself. And when I'm preaching on salvation, I've already been saved, so I'm preaching to other people. But boy, when I'm preaching on being sanctified, leaving the old me behind and the new me taking its place, I am very much talking to myself. So when I ask questions in this sermon, like this one, if you are a follower of Christ today, where would you evaluate yourself to be in this river of living water, this pouring out, this overflowing life, to where, in fact, others would look at my life and say, wow, now there's a river of living water. And sometimes that's just not true at all. And this is kind of where the believer's rubber meets the road. This is where we all kind of live. But it is so critical that I see myself, that you see yourself that are listening to this today, that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God. You're a temple. You are the residence of the Spirit of God. You do not belong to yourself. You were bought with a high price. And therefore we must, and the word glorify, doxa, is this reflection. I must glorify, I must reflect God with my life. And then we come down to, but I can't do it in myself. I've tried to fix all the unfixables in me. And that's why this image that you can't see on the radio, but this image of one conduit that's just crammed full of junk and the other conduit that's empty, God's asking for us to allow him to so cleanse that conduit, all of the stuff that we often are clogged with, that we just kind of live with sometimes year after year. God's saying, let me wash it. Let me cleanse it. Let me get it out of you. Let my Spirit flow not only in through, but out through you, because I have so transformed you from the inside out.
I'm just going to dovetail off of what Pastor Sam said. During the sermon, he mentioned that they were at Niagara Falls in the dead of winter, and that the water was still gushing, even in the most brutal of times. We are supposed to be transformed. We accept Christ as our Savior, and yes, we start changing. But down the road, after the initial excitement wears off, do I, get complacent and let the gushing water dry down to a trickling ditch? Do I have that river gushing out of me? My knee-jerk reaction is to say, of course. But wait a minute. Does my life, my actions, my words show that? I need to take a hard look at what is coming out. What comes out when life is hard, is impossible, is inescapable? We need to still be allowing and asking the Holy Spirit to continually be filling us so that we can still pour out in spite of the brutal times of our lives. Pastor Sam's illustration of the clogged pipe speaks to me every time I see it. The picture of that pipe clogged with the sludge and grease and crud is so disgusting that it makes me cringe to think that the stuff in that clogged pipe is the junk that we hang on the inside. Why in the world would we want to hang on to that? I imagine someone being able to look inside you as clear as you can look into that pipe. What would they see? Would they see the chunks of the sludge that clog your conduit, or the gushing flow of the Holy Spirit? If we ask Christ to be our Savior, let go of the disgusting junk, and let the Holy Spirit flow into us, then He can flow out of us unrestricted. We need to let that river of living water gush out of us, even in the most brutal of times. Pastor Sam asked us, "Where are you on your journey?" That's a good question for all of us to examine. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "May God sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ."
I want to continue thinking about this, but in a little bit of a bigger idea with regard to the kingdom plan of God. God has always had the plan that He would display His might and His power and His kingdom work through His people. I mean, think about this. He called the people out of Egypt, rescued them, then He brought them to the mountain and He entered into a covenant with them so that they could go into the land and take it and establish His kingdom on earth. We get to the New Testament and we look at the marvelous things that Jesus has done for us. He left heaven, He came, He lived here, He died on a cross. He rose from the dead. Then He promised that when He left, He would send His Spirit in us to lead us into all truth. He doesn't do that just so we can sit. He does that because He's got a kingdom plan that He wants to work out through us. He wants the world to change because of what He's doing in us. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, if we agree with Him about what they are, that He's faithful to forgive us, remove the penalty of sin, and then cleanse us from unrighteousness. That word cleanse there is the picture of washing someone clean so that they can be of service in the temple. It's making you clean to do a thing. We talk about surrender, and that's so critical, to surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit. But I think we get this idea of surrender wrong in that we think it's passive. It's not a passive surrender, it's an active surrender. We kind of get the pipes clean by seeking to see them filled with righteousness. We tack our sails, to use the other illustration, so that the wind can catch them. So what's that look like in real life? Well, Romans 12:1 says, be transformed. That's like an active passive. We're supposed to be seeking the transforming power of God in our lives. Again, what does that look like practically? Well, here's some questions. Are we in a church under the authority of pastors and elders in fellowship with other believers who can hold us accountable? To you who are struggling with addiction, I understand the struggle, but are you seeking God's righteous power in your life, or are you sitting still trying to pull yourself out of it? Have you opened your mouth and spoken to your neighbor about the love of Christ for them? The question is, are you actively surrendered? Are you seeking to be filled by God's Holy Spirit more and more each day?
I'd love to close by building upon what these wonderful people have just said. What does it mean to be transformed by the Holy Spirit of God? Pastor Sam in his message said this, and I quote, "There should be an obvious sequence, shouldn't there? The indwelling Holy Spirit begins first to transform us on the inside. Our thoughts, our attitudes, and our actions and reactions turn toward righteousness and godliness. It's out of those inner transformations that the Holy Spirit is able to deeply affect and infect other people around us." That's the beautiful thing about the gospel, that Jesus has plucked us out of darkness, and now we are children of the light. To be transformed by the Holy Spirit means to be filled, as Pastor Sam said in the sermon, to be being filled. It wasn't just a one-time thing. Yes, it was one time for salvation, but it's many times, should be, day in, day out for sanctification, for growing more and more into the image and likeness of Christ, to being conformed more and more into the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to daily die to ourselves, to live a life of radical transformation. So maybe you're listening right now and saying, that's what I want. I'm just not there right now, but I want it. I want to encourage you today, like Pastor Sam said, we're not here to beat you up. He has cleansed you from your sin. I love this in 1 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul names 40 some odd sins and says, you were once these people, but you have now been washed and sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I also love this verbiage the Apostle Paul uses in Ephesians, but God. So we were sons and daughters of destructions. We were dead in our sin and trespasses, but God, being rich in mercy, has saved us by grace through faith in Christ alone. So I would love to lead you all in prayer right now to that end. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you, God, for your faithfulness. We thank you for who you are. We pray, God, that you would take the crud out of our life, and you would replace us with a brand spanking new infilling of the Holy Spirit. We would live righteous lives that are pleasing unto you. So take out the crud, God. We invite you. We ask you to do it and replace it with new desires that please you. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to the program today. If you are listening and you're uncertain that you have the relationship with Jesus that you need, we want to help you. Please text us at 772-205-6552 or go online to graceemmanuel.com and click on the Contact Us tab. We want to invite you to join us for worship each Sunday morning at 10:40 a.m. Our church campus is located at 707 Kitterman Road in Northport, St. Lucie, just west of US 1. Please visit our website for more information about us. Grace Emmanuel is a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, fellowshipping church with ministry to children, youth, young adults, families, and our seniors, all making up a wonderful family of believers called by Jesus to follow close, to love well, to serve strong, and to reach far. May God's grace and the power of His Spirit purify you this week. Please visit with us soon.